Father, we pray for our children as they go to study your word, to be taught, that you would minister to them, that you would teach them. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I brought with me some of the spoils of Jody's injury. This is some homemade bread that Kathy Benton, our good friend, made for us here. And I learned the other day that from my girls that Kathy makes this bread from whole wheat flour that she gets. I don't know where she gets it, but they told me this whole long story, Kathy, about how she gets this bread mixed ahead of time and makes the bread. And it just seemed appropriate, seeing how the lessons tonight focus on Jesus being the bread of life, that I would bring some of this great bread. And I didn't bring enough for everybody to have some, but I've got it here, so I don't know. You know, maybe we can have a raffle for some of it later on. But just a quick word. I know a few people got here after I had read Jody's letter, but do be praying for her. She is at Shands Rehab and is recuperating there, although the pain is still quite great that she's suffering. She fell last Sunday night, broke her femur and her kneecap, and so needs your prayer and really is missing you terribly. She sends her love and was really blessed last Sunday. She had a great day, but now she is recovering. So pray for her and pray for us, because it's really different with her not being around, as you can quite imagine. But folks have been great. People like Kathy have been bringing wonderful things, bread. We've got folks signed up to bring us food. I think, honestly, we could probably not fix a meal from now until, I don't know how long, because, you know, we've got Vineyard folks and, of course, Servants folks, and then Cornerstone folks, the Christian school here, that are all helping out. So it's been a great blessing. And Jody sends her love and asked me to pass on how thankful she is that you're taking good care of us and her. So keep it up. That's from her. But it's great. The lessons do revolve around Jesus' words that he is the bread of life. We begin in the Old Testament, though, and it's this one of the many occurrences where it is recorded about this manna that God brought from heaven. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been there in the deserts and for God to literally rain down a substance, something to nourish our bodies with, something that would have been so sustaining for life in such a miraculous way. But it became very important to the memory of the children of Israel. And it's recorded oftentimes, and Jesus is going to pick up on it. I want to point out an important thing about the story of the manna and this whole time in the children of Israel's lives where they were sustained by God's nourishment when he was meeting their needs directly from heaven. It happens after they have basically rebelled against God and created this golden calf and worshipped it. I guess that's kind of basic, but I just like to remind us all of that. That after Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, I remember he has the Ten Commandments, and here are the children of Israel that have given up on Moses and the God of Yahweh, and they have begun to worship a false god. And they are in total rebellion. And God has to humble them, as we read about in Deuteronomy tonight. He has to teach them to depend upon him. He has to break their pride and their selfish ambition. But after that, he sustains them, not just getting by. He feeds them himself from heaven. And it's such a picture of the mercy and grace of God that even after we have rebelled and we have turned away, that he is there with mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace, blessing and filling and meeting the needs of his people. So I just like to start there by pointing that out, that it is following their rebellion that the manna is given. Well, Jesus has performed some miracles of his own, and we've been reading about those in past weeks. You've heard accounts in two different gospels over the last few weeks of where Jesus has fed 5,000. He will feed different numbers is recorded in some of the gospels, but he has fed them and he has met their need. He has provided this nourishment for their bodies. Jesus is now being sort of compared to Moses in the hearts of those that are following him. They aren't sure what to make of this man. They knew he was a great teacher, captivating, but now he's moved into a different realm, and he's actually providing for them in a way that seems like what Moses did to their forefathers. And so here in John chapter 6, it seems pretty clear that what they're doing is the crowd has come to seek out, to sort of pin Jesus down. Are you like Moses, the bread giver? Are you a prophet? Are you one like Moses coming again to God's people? Are you going to meet our needs the way Moses met the needs of the children of Israel? We have many needs. Now, Jesus has to sort of clarify at this point, because they're assuming that it's Moses, the bread giver, that they're looking for, someone like him. It's sort of like with this bread that I got from Kathy. I could share it with you. I could, if I was a giving person. No, if I had enough. But I could give it to you and you would enjoy it, I promise you. And it's really good. But I don't know how to make bread, you know? And it would be limited because I'm just the bread giver. You need to meet the bread maker if you really want to understand the bread. And that's in effect what Jesus says. He says it wasn't Moses that gave you bread. It was my Father in heaven. He's the one who gave it to you. It was him that was meeting your needs. It was him that was providing all that you needed in the desert. Even as he disciplined you and humbled you, as we heard about in Deuteronomy 8, it was him that was providing all those things. And he says, basically, I'm one with that bread maker, that bread giver. In fact, I am the bread of life. And that's where he really drops the bomb on them. In the same way that God the Father sent that bread from heaven, he has sent me down to be that nourishment, to be that provision. Now, I want to stop for a second. Jesus is beginning to talk about himself now and his provision. But Jesus has just been meeting physical needs of people. He understands our needs. He understands that our bellies get empty and that our pain can be great and that our suffering can be hard. And so he doesn't fault the crowds for wanting someone to meet their needs, to provide provisions, but he's trying to show them a different kind of fulfilling, a different kind of provision. But I like to point out also that Jesus has just fed about 5,000 poor people. You know that the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000, 7,000, different numbers are in there. I think it's just 4 and 5, actually. I don't think it's 7. I may be rewriting scripture now. But it's one of the prevalent, repeated stories of Jesus. You know, why do we go to Catholic Worker Cafe and feed the poor? Because Jesus fed the poor. And why am I involved, and why are some of you going to get involved with the gathering in November, feeding the city of Gainesville, passing out these food gift certificates? Because Jesus fed the poor. He did care and meet the physical needs. But Jesus wants to make clear that it is not this physical bread. It is not our physical needs, though they might seem really great and pressing on us, that is really what we need. What we need is this manna from heaven, this bread from heaven. But it's Jesus. And he begins to really show that he's the center of everything. That I am the gift that God has sent down. That the manna in the Old Testament was simply a foreshadowing of me coming to you to be your provision, to meet your need. And that receiving me, coming to me, believing on me is what is necessary. It's a very exclusive claim that Jesus makes. He is the exclusive way to the Father. And he is the one given for our provision. He makes the claim that God the Father draws people to Jesus, even as we're each called to respond to Jesus individually. Some people get real mixed up in theology and saying, well, if it's all God's doing, then I don't have to worry about it. And the other people say, well, no, if it's all my doing and it's totally on my own. And the answer is you're both right and you're both wrong, because it's a both end. God the Father sends Jesus the Son and draws us to him, and at the same time, we must believe on him. We have to receive him. He even goes so far as to make it clear that it is in his dying for us and giving up of his flesh, giving up of himself, that the world has life. You see, bread, no matter how tasty it is, or meat, no matter how good it is for the body, will not keep us alive forever. But Jesus says, but I have come to bring life. I've come to give you bread that will not just sustain this broken, suffering, imperfect life you have now, but to bring a transforming, renewing, eternal kind of life that you need. That's amazing when you're in the midst of being in hospitals, and now Jody in the rehab. It's amazing how small your world gets. And those of you who have had folks who are sick or ill, or maybe yourselves in the hospital, I mean, your world gets tiny. And it begins to revolve around very simple things, doesn't it? You know, going to the bathroom, not to be too graphic, but it becomes a huge thing in your life. I mean, your world gets so small. Getting out of bed, sitting up, getting that pain medicine, right? Ed knows a little bit about that kind of stuff. And it's so easy to be like that crowd, searching for the next Moses, the next bread giver, because the needs are so pressing. And yet, even as I'm walking through this with Jody the last 7 days, friends, I read John 6 and I hear Jesus' words that he is the bread of life. And it reminds me that my spiritual need is much greater. And that as I seek him, and as I receive the provision of Jesus, then he will meet the other needs. It's tough. You know, we people say, you know, Jody struggles with MD. Why in the world would she have to suffer these falls? I don't know. That's a hard question. Jesus and I will talk about that one day. But I can tell you that Jesus is the bread of life for Jody. She doesn't have to walk. She has to have Jesus. She has to have that sustaining bread that comes from God the Father, that is our Lord Jesus. He is what she needs. It's so easy. I don't mean this. Well, I do mean it, but you know, when I go to my dog Jordan, who I love immensely, he's on my cell phone thanks to my son. But when I go to Jordan, he doesn't have his face. He doesn't look at my face. He looks at what's in my hand. You know, maybe at times your kids were like that, right? They, what do you got, Daddy? You know, it's like, hey, glad to see Daddy. Yeah, what'd you bring me? You know, got the word I hear is that we need to remember the old saying. I didn't invent it, but don't look to the hand of God, how He will provide your needs, but look to the face of God. For He is the bread of life. Look at the one who is our provision. He may not meet the needs of our physical life in the way He did yesterday, today, but He will meet them. But He is the true substance. He is the thing that will really nourish and sustain you. Get to know Jesus more intimately. Be around other people who know Him intimately. That's one of the best ways to get to know Christ more intimately. And I don't mean people that talk about Jesus a lot. I mean people that really know Him. Spend time in their presence. Watch how they commune with their God in pain and in joy. Focus on Him. Jesus paints it so clearly in John 6. He is the bread of heaven. He is the one. He is the provision of the Father. It is not just this vague love of God. It is the love of God displayed in the life of Jesus, who came and died for you and me, who gave His flesh. Meditate on Him. You know, I think about the communion, the Eucharist we share. I mean, talk about bread from heaven. Talk about manna. How is it that a little piece of bread and a tiny sip of wine spiritually nourishes us? Well, it's because Christ dwells in that bread and wine. Each week when we come to His table, as Ted shared with us a few weeks ago, we experience again Jesus, the bread of life. Take those things with understanding. Be nourished by Him. Be strengthened by Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.